everyone. Welcome to Rewatchable number 96, featuring our rehash of Avatar The Last Airbender, Book 3, Episodes 20, Sozin's Comet Part 3, and 21, Sozin's Comet Part 4. If you have been counting correctly, you'll know that this is the finale of Avatar The Last Airbender, all up. It won't be our final episode of Avatar Rewatchable. We'll have an entire series recap and feedback episode, but this is the last proper recap episode for the entire series. So to celebrate that, this week we're joined by all three of our newbies, Ariana, Karen, and Brittany. So hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm your host, Natalie, this week, if you are tuning in for the first time and do not know my voice. If you want to reach us to talk about this episode or our entire coverage of Rewatchable, I mean, there's no spoilers anymore, so no spoilers, so you can talk about things you've been dying to talk about with Avatar, or, you know, ask our newbies questions or just commiserate. You can reach us on rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us at re_watchable. You can comment on this post on Hyperbole, or you can go over and join us on Tumblr, which is rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. So this week we're going to do things a little bit differently. We are doing a summary and then a discussion of the two parts as a whole, because they are very much interconnected and it's the finale, rather than going one by one with discussion about each. So first of all, we have a huge bumper synopsis written by our wonderful synopsis writing team, and we're all going to take a turn at reading some of it, and hopefully you enjoy it, as I know people tend to get a kick out of this. I'm going to start, and then we'll go over to the rest of our lovely group. So in these final chapters, hashtag Zutara confronts the crazed Azula and finally gets it on. That bit's crossed out. Toph, Suki, and Sokka take down the Fire Nation airships, and Aang battles mano a mano with the Fire Lord himself. Azula is as hot and sensual as ever as she manically banishes all the people that throw off her groove. Zuko interrupts her coronation and challenges her to an Agni Kai. Fire blast kapow, Azula goes for a hit below the belt at Zuko's bay, leaving us all tear-bending as our angsty little prince jumps in front of a bolt of lightning and crumples to the ground.
But everything changes when Katara attacks. Outsmarting the crazed Azula, Katara proves her everlasting love for Zuko by fucking freeing Azula and chaining that bitch up. Katara does a better job of healing Zuzu than the royal family's physician, leaving hashtag Zutara vicious, victorious, and motherfucking confirmed. Speaking of victorious bamps, Toph now metal bends like it's no big deal, helping the late lovers take down an entire fleet of super flameyode hot men. In another tear-bending moment, Sokka loses boomerang and space sword while desperately holding on to Toph. All is lost, but everything changes when Suki attacks. In a deus ex machina, if we've ever seen one, the blind bandit and Sokka make it safely to the ground.
Iroh and the old dudes reclaim Ba Sing Sang, hashtag where are the ladybenders. Speaking of deus ex machinas, Aang is getting his ass royally kicked by Ozai, but everything changes when Aang's pressure point attacks. Cue epic Avatar state bending of all four elements and more tear bending than we can handle. It's time to kill the Eva Fire Lord. Yay! Roar!
That sounded pathetic. I said roar!
Oh wait, Aang has standards. Ozai goes in for one final strike, but Aang's had enough. He sits that bitch down and uses a fifth type of bending called energy bending to take Ozai's fire bending away. They both glow like light brights for a hot second, and just when it seems like Aang's being is going to be corrupted, wait, who are we kidding? This show is called Avatar The Last Airbender for a reason. Aang's spirit wins, Toph shits on Ozai's face, and Suki's not allowed to make puns.
Oh my god.
What?
Sorry to all of the children that have been listening along to this family-friendly show.
I know.
Yeah, Mitch. Whoa.
It wasn't me this time.
Epilogue. Zuko's the new and improved peaceful Fire Lord, and he's forever's besties with Aang. I guess that Mako is kind of sort of confirmed more than hashtag Zutara here, but hey, a girl can dream. All of the prisoners were released, and Ty Lee forgoes all originality to join the very similar-looking Kyoshi warriors, hashtag can't escape your roots. But wait, there's more! Where's Ursa, Zuko's mother? Ozai ain't spilling those beans. That's what hashtag the comics are for. In a final resolution, Mako, Toph, Suki, Iroh, Katara, and Aang are all chilling at the Holiday Inn somewhere in Ba Sing Se. Then Aang kisses Katara, and she likes it. She likes his ladyboy kisses. No, stop cheating on Zuko. How is this a way to end a series? Fade into sunset, the end, until hashtag Korra, where everyone's dead.
Oh my god.
Wow.
That was a lot. You know what I'm realizing? Hashtags work a lot better when we can just read it than when we have to read it out loud. Like, it looks great to us, but when we're reading it out loud and there's more than one in a synopsis, I'm like, oof.
That was a lot. Okay. That was a lot. So yeah, that's where we're at. The series has ended with the big ladyboy kissing. That was great. So yeah, we'll get there, don't worry. The first really important part that we see in the episode is Azula sort of going crazy, like you know, really losing the plot, both with her kind of over the top banishment of people, like her kind of super, you know, constant vigilance, like craziness, and then her, you know, trying to prepare herself in the mirror and the whole, like, getting visited by her mom and her cutting her bangs and just becoming basically out of control crazy as opposed to, like, cool crazy.
I love how, like, cutting her bangs is, like, you know, that's the last straw. Like, you don't cut your own bangs. Biggest mistake. So that's how we know she's without a crazy. Doubt.
And she looks crazy.
Yeah, they're all uneven, and it's just like it's really well done, in my opinion. It's very like, you know, it really shows the descent into, like, her losing the plot. Even the way she talks to, like, Ozai about, you know, staying, you know, behind and becoming the Fire Lord, like in the previous episode, you can tell that she's like totally histrionic and mental. But yeah, I guess, were you guys expecting to see her, you know, once, you know, she was meant to becoming the new Fire Lord, were you guys expecting to see her, you know, decline like this? Or were you expecting to see her, like, remain bamfy and you know, scary powerful rather than scary crazy? Karen, what did you think of this sort of transformation from her?
Well, I definitely liked it. I thought that it really showed how much losing her friends affected her, which I think is really important for her arc, and to finally get that last piece of her personality and sort of, like, how she sees the world. But I didn't really see it coming. I honestly thought that she would have been totally sane and that, you know, her and Zuko were going to go hand to hand. But at the same time, I guess I'm a little disappointed because Zuko says something along the lines of, you know, she's slipping, I know I can beat her. And it's like, so you don't think you could beat her if she was sane? And I was hoping for more of a, like, Zuko finally comes into his own, and no matter how hard Azula tries, you know, he can beat her after all.
That would have been nice, but I don't think Zuko's that good at firebending. Sorry, babe, but I don't think he is. I don't know. It's just interesting. And then obviously, you know, we have her vision of her mother in the mirror. And I'll just, like, I can sort of confirm, I'm not sure if anyone, like, was wondering or not, like, that is, you know, a complete hallucination. Like, so that means that, you know, the thoughts that
Ursa
was...
You mean she didn't apparate?
Well, no, apparate, but, really? Like, what I mean is it's interesting to think that those thoughts are coming from inside Azula, if you know what I mean, that those words that Ursa is saying to her is stuff that Azula is making up herself. So, I don't know. Brittany, what did you think of the mummy in the mirror?
Well, at first I thought it was her, because I was like, oh, well, she's locked up somewhere, so maybe she got out now that, you know, Azula's dismissed everyone in the kingdom. Like, she's clear to go. But then I liked it more that she wasn't there, because it kind of, like, showed how off Azula is, because she was able to block that out for so long, and now all of a sudden everything's falling apart, so she has, like, this, that would be the vision that she has when she's got nothing left, like, to block it out with. Like, she's not planning domination, she's not preparing for a fight, all she's literally doing is getting her dismissing everyone and getting a crown put on her head.
I thought it was interesting that in the vision that she creates of her mother is telling her that she loves her, and then she's saying, no, you don't. I thought that's what was interesting, because usually, like, in these kinds of circumstances, they'll be like, you know, I never loved you.
Yeah. Things,
but
yeah.
In her head, she's creating her mom to say, I love you, and she's saying, no, you don't.
Yeah. So I thought that was what do you think that means?
I don't know. Like, does she really believe her mom loves her? Or does she
I think
believe
so.
She doesn't? I don't
I
know.
Think that kind of proves that she thought that.
Sigh, Azula, you crazy, crazy girl. I'm going to ask you guys at the end of the episode if you want to know what happens to her, basically. And it's not a spoiler for the comics. It's like it's what happens between the comics and the end of the show. And I am curious to know whether you guys want to know that or whether you can want to go and research it on your own, but I will tell you if you want to know. Then the Agni Kai between her and Zuko is really nice for a couple of reasons. There's something in the one of the making of books or something where they talk about like that they didn't want this to be like a big dramatic, like stompy music fight, because they had that going on between Aang and the Father Lord, but they kept the Azula and Zuko fight like a lot more, like the music is kind of a lot more peaceful in a way, and I don't know, it's just an interesting choice for that kind of scene. And then obviously Zuko you know, jumps in front of the lightning when she, you know, goes outside the realms of competition and takes a blow at Katara. So how did that make you girls feel? Ariana, how was that for you?
I mean, beautiful, obviously.
True love confirmed.
Why was Katara there? Like, what was she meant to be doing in this search, like, situation? Like, why was she just standing on the side, like, not helping or not being somewhere
well,
safe? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think what Mitch brings up, I think, is a valid point that people would wonder, like, why was she not doing anything? But I think that she felt like this was something he needed to do on his own, kind of like how she had needed to go, like, find the guy who killed her mom on her own. And but also, I mean, she's not just going to, I mean, she wants to make sure he's okay. So I think that's why she's, like, to the side. Like, she can jump in if something's going wrong.
Yeah, I mean, true. I mean, they did have that whole thing. It's like, do you want to come take Azula down with me? And she's like, yes, it would be my pleasure. So they did plan to go and do it together. But, like, is there some sort of ethical problem with going two against one or something? Like,
no, well, no. It's an Agni Kai. She can't do anything. Like, yeah. No one jumped in to stop Ozai from hurting Zuko during an Agni Kai. Like,
I
who
suppose,
would jump into it?
But, like, Katara's not from the Fire Nation. She can do whatever she wants.
she can, but at the same time, I think that she would know not to step in. Like, if, I mean,
yeah.
Yes, like, Azula's off her rocker, as Mitch so nicely puts, but I think that she was just respecting that until Azula wasn't respecting it anymore.
Yeah, maybe it would mean that, like, you know, if it's in an Agni Kai and, like, Zuko won, that would be his actual real claim to be taking over being as the Fire Lord. So, technically, this means Katara's the Fire Lord now.
That's great.
Because, yeah, she was the one that actually won the competition. But when Zuko got hit by the lightning, was anyone fearing for his life? Did anyone think he was maybe gone forever and
yes.
Would be... Really, Karen?
Yes, I was really, really upset, and I swear, like, I had been spoiled that he was gonna die or something.
Oh my god!
And I've been hiding this within me this entire time.
Oh my god!
But then it wasn't true, and, like, I'm relieved, but also a little pissed, but, I mean...
I don't know who gave you that spoiler. That's a dodgy one. Like,
wow. I mean, I was so excited because I knew what was going to happen. Like, he was going to save her, and then Katara was going to, like, go insanely crazy on Azula, and then she would run back to Zuko and put her hands in his hair, and it all happened, and then she healed him. Oh, it was beautiful. It was just perfect.
Sorry.
Listen, we don't need that.
You did. You totally called it all, Brittany.
Oh, it was so nice. It was so nice.
Yeah, I somehow remembered this slightly different, because I kind of did remember them at some point, like, or hallucinate. I knew that Azula and not Azula. I knew that Katara and Zuko took down Azula, but I remembered wrongly that they were, like, going at him, at her two against one, like, if you know what I mean, and that's how they overpowered her. I forgot that Katara did it all on her own with her whole, like, crazy freezing move, which is really awesome.
Awesome.
But, like, how has she not pulled that out before? Like,
like, I think it was, like, an in-a-moment thing, like, you know, where she was like, all right, this is what I have to do, and, like, she figured it out then and there, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, and was anyone kind of surprised that those, like, those little just chaining Azula to the ground, like, worked, if you know what I mean? Like, given that she's shown her way, her ability to sort of get out of things pretty easily before, I was kind of like, she can firebend through her feet. You can't just leave her there. She's going to, like, do something. But she just, I don't know. Do you
think that they probably should have just left her in the ice.
But... oh, my God. And then what, her become unfrozen 100 years later to be like
she can be who Korra fights.
But the chain thing, like, I didn't think that was going to work.
Yeah.
And it was actually, like, more disturbing in the end when she was just, like, sitting there and, like, going crazy.
Yes.
Like, I felt so bad for her.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that it's meant to be quite representative of, you know, her mental state rather than her power that those chains held her. Yeah. So that was quite a big deal. Like, it is actually a really, you don't see that many kind of mental breakdowns on television, especially not children's animated television, where it's really like a victim situation. Like, not that Azula doesn't totally suck in a crazy way, but yeah, it is definitely more of a sort of upsetting victim situation than, like, oh, you know, she's just evil, if you know what I mean.
Do you know who she reminds me of, Natalie? Now, you might be the only one who gets this now. She reminds me a lot of Cersei, like, when she starts crazy. Because Cersei, at first, she's like Azula, like, evil, but, like, super powerful, and then towards the end, she's just like, wow, girl, like, you don't know what's going on anymore.
Yeah, and I think Cersei is a pretty sympathetic character, especially, early on, maybe not, but in the books, when you get stuff from her point of view, and also in the show with the actress who plays her, has an incredible amount of compassion for her. So it does show that pretty clearly, and I agree with that. But yeah, Azula is really, again, I know this is a choice that they made. They were like, should we just make her like an evil bitch? And they're like, no, that has to be like more to it than that, if you know what I mean. So they very purposely gave her, you know, that instability. So that being said, like, yeah, what was just curious about your theories about what's going to happen to her now. And that's what I mentioned before. Like, I know, but I could tell you, but I want to hear your theories.
Oh, so you were, I thought you were saying, like, you knew, you were going to tell us what happened to the mother. I was like,
oh,
I thought that was
specifically in the comics. Oh my God, no, sorry. Well, that may be addressed in the comics, yes, but I was talking about Azula, like, what happens to Azula.
Oh, okay.
That makes
more sense.
Yeah, sorry.
I was like, but wait, I thought the mother.
No, I'm not going to spoil the mother for you.
Okay,
God,
okay.
I'm not Mitch.
I'm so confused. I was like, well, I know my answer. My answer is no.
No. I was going to tell you what happens between now and the comics for Azula, but I won't if you don't want me to. But have you guys got any theories?
I think that she's in like a pit somewhere.
A pit? I would hope her brother would put her like in a mental institution, like get her some help. She's 14. She's still a child. She can be saved.
She can help her. I think he just wanted to kick her down a pit.
No, Ariana, you nailed
it. Yeah, what?
That's what it is.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's what happens. And it really surprised me because you don't often see that with, like, on you know, it's not on television, but, like, in a fictional world about animated teenagers, you don't really see them, like, getting mental health.
Is it in the Fire Nation, or did they have to, like, you know, drive her to Ba Sing Se?
I don't know. I can't remember. But yeah, that's where she is.
Because I have a feeling like Ba Sing Se would probably be where you want
like healthcare.
Like,
They might just hypnotize her. Like, that's not good.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why I think she should go there.
Yeah. Anyway, yes, she is in a mental institution after this. So, yeah.
Can she still... So... Did they take away her firebending, too, like they did with Ozai?
I don't think so. I mean, you'd think it would be a smart move, but I don't think so. What was I going to say?
I wanted a more redeeming story for her.
Pardon?
Yeah, I did, too.
I wanted, like, a better ending for her. Like, she, read like, where she was redeemed. Not so much just, like, deemed crazy, but, like, could hang out with.
She joins. Like, no, she's not going to be in the tea shop or anything anytime soon. Like, you know? I don't think so. But, yeah, Azula has some great, like, post-series stories. So if you are interested in those... You can read the Avatar The Last Airbender tie-in comics, which we have been talking about a lot. So, yeah, the last bit about this was Katara's healing powers. You know, she must have got pretty good at it. Like, she didn't have any magic spirit water, and she just managed to use some normal water to, like, heal Zuko really fast. So, I mean, that's a handy skill to have. But, again, did you were you surprised about this one and her skills there?
I did think about it. I was like, wait a minute, she doesn't have any... I thought that she was just using regular water. Yeah. Like, I didn't think that it was the magic moon water it was, right?
Yeah, spirit water, yeah.
Yeah, spirit water, that's it.
Yeah, it was regular water, unless she secretly kept some back that she didn't want to use on Aang, but she didn't mind using on Zuko.
No, I like that so much better. No, let's go with that theory. Without a doubt, that's exactly what she did. She could have healed Aang completely, but she didn't, and kept some because she knew she would have to save Zuko at some point. Yep, that's how it was.
Okay, that's what it is. All right, I've got a big question for you as well, which is Katara has another power that might have come in handy a bit earlier, which is obviously bloodbending. Do you guys think that this might have been the moment to break it out, to just, like, grab Azula via bloodbending before the fight started? Or, like, would that have been not a good answer to this solution? Karen, how are you feeling about the bloodbending at this moment? Like, should have Katara used it today?
I mean, if Katara was going to use it on anybody, I think that it should be on Azula. But that being said, I really don't want her to use it. Because I think it's very dangerous and it sort of allows her to open the door to doing it more often. And that could really corrupt her as a person. So I'm glad that she didn't use it.
Ariana, how about you?
I don't care if she uses it as long as she uses it on, like, the appropriate times. And I think that this is an appropriate time, you know, when she's trying to kill you. But, I mean, she took care of it either way, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Brittany, I'm thinking about, like, how the bloodbending could be used as, like, just all of the waterbending could be used pretty much as, like, an Accio charm. It's like, oh, I want that apple. Come to me, apple, from across the room, if you know what I mean. It's like, she doesn't do enough of that kind of stuff, or, like, making people hit themselves in the face. Like, I feel like that, yeah, I feel like that, you know, if she was a responsible user, that aspect of bending could be really good for her. But, yeah, I was kind of surprised that, you know, she didn't pull it out on Azula, but that being said, you know, maybe she gave it up for good after that episode where she went crazy about her mom and she's never used it again, because you'd think that right now would be when she did, but she still didn't, so, yeah. Okay, so the
I have a quick comment that it's, like, going back a few steps, but when we were talking about, like, Azula and how Brittany wanted her to be redeemed. I don't need, like, a lot of this episode to me, like, the beginning felt, like, really exciting, and then the ending felt kind of underwhelming, I guess, because I felt like, I don't know, like, people didn't talk enough about their emotions for my taste. But, like, I don't know. Like, Azula didn't even have, like, a Powerpuff Girls reunion at the end, you know, like, where people talk, where, like, there's so many feelings between them. People feel betrayed and angry, and there was none of that. And I just felt like that was really disappointing since they were a really big part of the show. So that's what makes me sad about Azula's ending.
They needed that 30 seconds to focus in on, like, Aang and Katara's close-up kiss, though.
I know. Oh, my gosh.
I know. Yeah. Why couldn't they just end it with a hug?
No.
Like, the hug was fine. I'm like, I get what happens down the road. It's fine. Yeah.
Well, no, because that would have been an ambiguous ending, much like in the play, Ember Island Players, where they're like, I'll always love you like a brother. I wouldn't want it any other way. They specifically needed to do the opposite of that and all of that kind of thing. And you know, like, they don't really like ending stuff being ambiguous, these guys. Once we get to Korra, there's some great comments about how they ended that show, about like how they approached the network about ending that show, which made me laugh. But yeah, they really don't like to be ambiguous. They like to confirm things when they can get away with it. Some of the stuff they weren't allowed to confirm, like Jet's death, even though other people died. It's weird. But yeah, anyway, moving on. Another moment is another little sub-team of Suki, Sokka, and Toph taking down the airship fleet. And, you know, that I guess the Fire Lord was, like, riding on to Ba Sing Se, or to just fly over the whole world. So a few little questions here, which was that the whole fleet's just, like, sailing along, burning down the whole world. And, like, so is this the Fire Lord's plan, like, burning down all of the forest? Like, is that his plan to take over the world, to like set it all on fire so that it is useless? Like, that doesn't seem like a very productive way to have a world. Like, does he just want to rule a world that's all like crisped up and not actually able to be used in any way? So yeah, how did you guys feel about his like fire blasting the land, I guess, like as a conqueror, from a conqueror's perspective, what use is this? Brittany, any theories?
I thought it was just to show how much power that they had from a distance. So, like, if you're in Ba Sing Se and you see this giant firewall coming at you,
yeah,
you're going to, like, kind of be terrified. And especially since they have the power of Sozin's Comet, it's like, well, we're feeling this powerful. We might as well put it to use.
Fair enough. I did always think it was a bit weird, but you know, he's crazy too. Maybe he just doesn't care. And then once they're aboard the ship, we have one of the coolest scenes ever, which is Toph's metal bending entrance when she knocks down the door and becomes a transformer or whatever. So
was anyone else like concerned that she was getting really hot in that metal? Because there was just constantly like fire coming at the metal, and I just thought that I kept thinking, like, I'm like, oh my god, she's gonna get so hot in there because the metal is gonna get so hot. But maybe
I didn't think about that. I just thought it was really cool, and like, as always with metal bending, I'm like, really, she's the first person in the history of this entire planet to have like been a good enough earthbender to think about like the like different components of earth and control them, like, really? That really surprised me. But Karen, how did you feel about the metal bending suit?
I loved it. I loved Toph a lot. And I mean, I don't really know what to say about her being the first one to figure that out. But maybe it was because of her blindness, because she was able to see that metal was made up of minerals and that sort of thing. But I like it whenever she whips that out. I think it's genius, and it allows her to do a lot of things that she couldn't do just with the earth bending. So I'm all for it.
Well, I thought you might like it because she ended up basically looking like Iron Man.
Well, I mean, there's that.
I don't know if anyone else found it completely hysterical, but when Sokka took over the ship and gave the announcement on the PA system, you know, that everyone had to gather in the break room or whatever, that everyone just went with it, like that the whole ship was just like, yeah, this is fine. And
it
I really
just
liked
made so much sense because it was Sokka calling them that they all went along with it.
I loved it because one of the things that I really like is the little moments in this show that remind you that the Fire Nation as a whole isn't evil, if you know what I mean. That they are just, you know, they're working in the army for their country, and what their country's leaders happen to be doing sucks, but it doesn't make the individuals, I mean, it makes them complicit, but it doesn't make them, like, super evilly motivated, if you know what I mean. And I thought this was a really great moment for that. And I always find it really, really funny. But obviously that all doesn't last too long. And, you know, ships start, you know, everything starts going bad. And then Sokka and Toph are going to fall out of the ship and basically admit that they're going to fall to their deaths and that everything is going to end and that they are accepting that. So how did you, again, going back to thinking Zuko was dead, did anyone think that one of these two was going to be lost in the battle here? Brittany, any fears?
I was a little nervous for Sokka because I've kind of been spoiled on Toph surviving. Okay. But I haven't seen or heard anything about Sokka past Avatar, like, and it makes me really nervous anytime Sokka's in a position of danger. So I was a little concerned about Sokka for a while. I was like, this is going to be the tragic death that I'm going to have to deal with.
Oh.
But I'm glad it wasn't.
How about you guys? Ariana, did you feel like any emotions about this scene?
Yes, it was so beautiful. And like when he's like, I think this is the end. Oh my goodness, my heart. It was just like breaking. But this whole thing, I love that they put, I mean, we can discuss their choices of who they put together in this in this episode. But I really loved that they put Toph and Sokka together. And oh, it was just so precious because, as we talked last week, McCall said, it makes no sense that she went on the airship since she can't see in the air. But since she couldn't see anything and he's like dragging her everywhere. And I just thought that was so precious.
Yeah, I saw like a gift set on Tumblr of, you know, someone tallying up all the times when Sokka forgets that Toph is blind when it doesn't really matter. And then like, you know, comparing it to this where he is like, you know, fully conscious of it and how nice that is and all of that kind of thing. Some other questions about this moment. Will Sokka ever get Space Sword back? Probably not. Not that I can remember. Maybe they'll find it for him one day, but that's a shame. And then how did Suki manage to take down that one airship? She's not a bender, but we did see her, like, you know, her fighting skills at the prison and all of that kind of thing. But she managed to commandeer her own ship in order to, like, tear through all of the other ones. So that was a cool moment of her coming back to save everyone. Karen, are you a Suki fan now that she's not dead?
Yes, I've been a Suki fan even before she was presumably dead, while she was dead, and after she was dead. I mean, not dead, something like that. Yeah, I thought this was really cool. The thing I love about Suki is exactly that, is that she doesn't have any bending skills, and yet she just dominates. She is such a good fighter, and, you know, Sokka is the planner, and he's a good fighter too, but there's something about Suki that she's just so confident in her abilities, and she's able to really go with the flow, and, you know, she's a wonderful warrior, and it's no surprise that she's leader of the Kyoshi Warriors.
Yeah, I think she's so cool, and when she comes back, like, coasting on the edge of that ship, and she's like, yeah, I'm going to save you guys. I like it a lot. But yeah, anyone else got any feelings about the airship plot, about like whether that was, you know, good, bad, necessary, you know, well done? Any questions about it not being well done? Any thoughts from the crowd about the airships?
I liked it. I was really impressed with how they were able to find a way to showcase the non-benders of the group.
Yeah,
and then also because it wasn't Toph, like, you know, who saved the day with her metal bending. Like she had a huge contribution, but at the end of it, it wasn't just her.
Yeah, which I think that's one of the things that's good about this universe in general is a lot of universes that we see where there's like special powers, that the special powered people are seen as like very like above, if you know what I mean. Like Harry Potter is the most, you know, obvious example. They treat like muggles like they're like even the nice, like, you know, wizards, especially the ones who are like pure blood, treat muggles like they're like, you know, learning disabled children or something like that. They talk about them like they're not like valid human beings with powers of their own and stuff, and this is a really good universe where it shows that there is like, yeah, magic powers, but like, you don't have to have magic powers to be, like, as important or as powerful, and I really like that. So, yeah. So let's talk about the old guys, the White Lotus taking back Ba Sing Se. So they had the firebenders, they had Paku and Bumi, so they had, you know, earth, fire, and water. And what have we got? Did you put this in? Did you add this in, Brittany?
Well, Mitch wanted to make a point that they didn't need Paku or Bumi, and I said that they totally needed both of them because Bumi was so awesome destroying those tanks and, like, launching them all places with his awesome bending. And then he also made the announcement. He was like, Ba Sing Se, the Order of the White Lotus is here. And then Paku was like, here to set you free. They totally needed them. Just saying.
I liked Paku's, like, sending the ice over the wall
for yeah.
men to skate down. I thought that was rad. And I just love the Order of the White Lotus. You can certainly ask hashtag why no lady benders. Yeah, I don't know if there's any women in the Order of the White Lotus at this point. But
at this point, oh my gosh, that's so exciting.
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to remember if it is in future or not as well. Like, because yes, you will see them again at some point in the canon of the show.
Toph is definitely going to be one. Watch, she has the makings of being like a crazy Bumi.
Well, okay,
it's the biggest compliment anyone can get.
Let's talk about Bumi for a minute, Brittany.
Yeah.
Do you have any theories / I don't know, obsessive research as to how Bumi became the king of Omashu when he was like a homeless street child?
You know, I never thought about that, but I have a feeling it just happened to be like one of those Mad Men, I'm in the right place at the right moment type of deals where like he just shows up one day and they're like, hey, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I totally belong here. And then he just worked his way up to becoming the king because of his awesome earthbending abilities.
Okay. Maybe it's like an elected thing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but I'd like to know. Is there like an actual answer?
I don't know. This is the thing. I've been like, why is he the king when he was Aang's friend? He was like a street rat.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe he was a prince pretending to be a street rat, like the Prince and the Pauper, like, you know, going out and like living like, you know, undercover.
Oh, that, would that mean that he have like he's like a twin somewhere? Oh, that'd be cool.
I don't know. Two Bumis is too much. And then Iroh burns the Fire Nation banner from the Ba Sing Se palace and reclaims Ba Sing Se. Well, sets Ba Sing Se free. You know, in a sort of bit of a, you know, juxtaposition to his attempt to conquer Ba Sing Se, you know, back in the day when he had to be in the Fire Nation army. So how did you guys like that? Karen, how did you feel about Iroh's, like, Ba Sing Se return?
I thought it was the perfect ending for him because it was always really important to me that Iroh get some sort of redemption. And I had a feeling he would because from the very beginning, he's been trying to lead Zuko in a very specific direction. And while he was supportive of him in the beginning for taking down the Avatar and that sort of thing, you could tell that he wasn't wholly comfortable with that. And then as time went on and Zuko kind of like went way off the path Iroh had in mind for him, Iroh really stepped up and really rebelled against the Fire Nation and everything that they were doing. So I think, you know, it's wonderful that he was able to end it this way, and especially that part when he burns the flag. I thought that was so symbolic for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all he wants to do is hang out in his tea shop.
Yeah.
Kind of make, you know, I don't know how he got stuck in the army in general. Like, did he have some big revelation somewhere along the way, or was he always kind of not into it? But, yeah, good old Iroh. So the big battle, the big fight between Aang and Ozai. First question is who, like, after every other Avatar was like, just kill him, man. Who thought that Aang was going to end up killing Ozai? Anyone? Hands, show of voices.
I thought he was going to have to kill him. And especially,
really?
Especially, like, once he was in the Avatar state, I was like, all right, it's definitely going to happen.
Because
so, I sort of, like,
Avatar doing it, not Aang the person.
Yeah, like, I kind of, like, detached Aang from his, like, like little Aang from whatever was going on at that point. I was like, oh, it's not Aang anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm glad he didn't.
I didn't think they could just because of where it's this was meant like aged for like 12-year-olds and to be telling kids like, yeah, so you should like if nothing else works, just kill them. I figured Nickelodeon wouldn't want to send that message.
Suppose so. Karen?
Yeah, I feel the same way as Ariana because Aang spent so long really struggling with that idea. And even though all of the previous avatars or the ones that he talked to were like, yeah, you know, sometimes you just have to do it, Aang still didn't feel comfortable with it. And at that point, I was like, all right, something else is going to happen, but I had no idea what it was going to be.
Because that's interesting to me, because when I was watching the episodes again now, I kind of forgot that you guys didn't know what it meant when he talked to the lion turtle, if you know what I mean, that only was revealed later, like what he'd actually given him. And I thought that everyone knew that that's what he was going in planning to do. And then I forgot about it. So, yeah. So I was sort of thinking about that in the wrong order. And I forgot that you didn't know he wasn't going to kill him until he didn't kill him, basically.
I still don't really understand what that lion turtle is about. Like, me I'm just either. So confused. I feel like this, like Mitch said, this is a huge Deus Ex Machina. I was a little bit disappointed. Like, this felt kind of anticlimactic. Like, oh, everything's fixed. Nobody had to do anything bad because there was a magic turtle that came. And everything's fine.
Sorry. I mean, we'll talk more about that in a second. But I wanted to just talk quickly first about the avatar state and how that apparently got reactivated with a bit of like shiatsu massage, like to the, or at least like, you know, they cleared the chakra by like pressing into the wound. It's like, has no one tried that yet? Like, I don't understand. Like, but anyway, Aang can do the avatar state again now, which is nice. And it was, you know, he comes out of that in order to, you know, spin some rocks and water and fire and air at Ozai. So we get a scene of like, you know, Avatar Aang and his little ball of all four elements, which was, you know, it was cool, but he still looked like a super little kid, in my opinion. Like, he didn't, like, miraculously age into this, like, timeless being or anything, so.
Well, see, actually, when he was fighting Ozai in the beginning, I felt he looked older. Like, when they first, like, show him on the rock, I was like, well, yeah. Oh, okay, he looks like he can handle this. I mean, he started to look like a little kid again once he started, like, feeling weak. But yeah. I did think that there was a little bit of a change. I don't know. Maybe they just, like, made his eyebrows darker or something. But
did you guys notice that his voice got deeper after he beat Ozai?
It did.
Really?
I did notice that.
Maybe he finally went through puberty on that trip.
Yeah. Or he went through puberty while he was fighting Ozai.
He had, like, a scratchy voice. He was tired.
So, yeah, basically, after all of that, even in the Avatar state, he still wouldn't kill Ozai, even when Ozai's, like, defeated, basically. And then the lion turtle gave Aang the gift of energy bending, which are, you know, is the ability to take away / instate, I guess. It works in the opposite direction, too. I haven't really thought about that. Bending in people. And obviously, this is something that, well, I would say obviously. I would assume this is only something the Avatar themselves can do or would be allowed to have the power over. But, yeah, do you guys have any questions or thoughts about the energy bending, about the, you know, removal or addition of bending to a person like this? Do you think this is, like, fair? Do you think this is, like, the right thing to do? Karen, how did you feel? Oh, sorry, go on.
I had two questions.
Yes.
Okay, so only the lion turtle, like, he can't, like, just have learned this. It could only come if the lion turtle gave it to him.
I, like, don't know how to answer that question.
Okay, no, that's fine. And then I guess my other question is, like, you know when, like, he is blue and, like, Ozai's red and then, like, the redness almost fully, like, engulfs Aang? Like, what would have happened if it, like, fully engulfed him? Like, does that mean that Ozai would have gotten Aang's energy abilities, or does it just mean that Aang would have lost them?
I think he just would have meant Aang died, yeah. Like,
okay.
Lost them, I think. The thing about like getting it from the lion turtle is I cannot genuinely remember the answer from that. The concept of removing bending is gonna come up again in the canon of this show. So I don't remember what the answer is to that, but it's out there somewhere, basically.
Is the lion turtle, is he like a god or something? Is I don't really understand why he's so special and why he came out only at the end. They've never talked about them before.
Neither. Honestly, I don't know either. I feel like he's like a prehistoric, like he's existed before a lot of things have existed. And I've got a feeling that this is addressed later. Like, I can't remember the specifics, and I also don't want to spoil specifics, but there's a lot, I'll say this, there's a lot in Korra about origin stories of, like, the Avatar and of bending. There is in that about the origin of how all of this stuff happens.
Yeah, I mean, that just doesn't surprise me. We still have to worry about spoilers.
I know.
No, but in Korra,
frustrating.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Because, like, when we all took that that Korra quiz, like, which bender are you quiz, there was, like, a question that was about what lion turtle are you, and I was like, oh, these are actually relevant. I didn't know that. So, spoiler alert, they're coming back.
I will tell you, yes, that there are lion turtles. There is definitely stuff about the lion turtles and bending and how people became benders in Korra. There's a lot of like way, way old origin story stuff. So hopefully that's good.
I can't believe we still have to deal with this. We finished the series and we still have to have like no comment type answers.
Yeah. Even that, I feel like I've said too much, but you will. If you are frustrated with the lion turtle, watch Korra, and that's a spoiler that I'll give you, that there's going to be stuff about the lion turtle.
But wait to watch Korra until we're watching.
Yes, yes. Wait to watch Korra till we do Korra on the show. I'm so sorry, you guys. Brittany, you could watch it all, and then you could do Korra as a super fan and not a newbie.
No, I
don't have no newbies.
All right. Sorry. This is so terrible. All right, let's move on from the lion turtle. Was this actually a satisfying ending to you guys? Like, was this a good option for the Fire Lord? Like, you know, does this, I mean, he's not dead. Like, he's still technically the Fire Lord. He's still born into royalty. And, like, you know, is this actually a legitimate defeat, I guess?
Whatever.
You're like, no, you were not into it, Ariana?
It was a good Nickelodeon ending.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, I'm still angry about, like, a lot of things. I just want everybody to, like, talk it out.
Oh, my God.
I actually really liked this ending because I felt like Ozai's, he was so prideful of his bending abilities, and that's what made him so dangerous. And to take that away is so humiliating. And it'd be one thing if he, you know, died and went down in a ball of flames or something like that. But it wasn't that cut and dry. It was more like he's going to have to live the rest of his life with the shame that he is no longer a firebender. And I thought that was, I don't know, a really cool ending to his character.
I think one of the things that they did a really good job of showing with Ozai prior to this is that he only puts faith and strength in bending. Like he is really complacent. Like in that one bit during the Day of the Black Sun, he was like, Zuko, I am helpless. You have your swords. I am sitting here with no power. Like it's like he's so prideful about bending that he never learned how to be powerful in any other way except for the bending. He, you know, and like gross manipulate, you know, manipulative words, but he never, like, he couldn't storm back in there as like an army leader or as like a, you know, a fighter or anything like that. Like without the bending, like he's completely like useless. And from what we see of him, like, you know, the way he's acting, like, it seems like it's actually taken all his strength. Like, he's basically in, like, a waking coma. Like, that's just, I don't know if that's going to be, like, his life forever. But right now it seems like he's just, like totally weak, like, even without the bending, like, completely weak and hopeless. So, I don't know. I mean, it's a better option than killing him, I suppose. But I feel like if he had been less of a complacent person, the Fire Lord, that is, that he could have probably, like, still regained some sort of power, even without being a bender. But I don't know. And then the crew comes back to see that Aang has defeated the Fire Lord, and they all kind of make jokes and, like, kick him in the head and stuff, which was interesting. How did you guys feel about that? Brittany, how did you feel about that reaction to seeing the defeated Ozai?
It was awful. I just wanted to, like, push Sokka off the cliff and be like, shh, no.
It was,
like,
gross.
Yeah, it was not in character, I think, for any of them.
Mm. Well, I think it was in character for, like, Toph. But she's, like, young. Like, Sokka really should know better.
I mean, I think they're all young, and they're kind of facing this moment of, like, oh my god, we're so young, and we've been doing all of these terrible and huge things, and now, oh my god, it's over. And they're, like, you know, don't know how to act about it, really. But it is super tacky and terrible.
I mean, it's very realistic, but I don't like that Nickelodeon was, like, saying that this was okay, that this was an okay way to act after you've won. I think that's a terrible message to give children, to be a sore winner.
Fair enough. No, I agree. Karen, any thoughts?
Same. I mean, I definitely agree that it is sort of in Toph's personality to be a little bit abrupt and not really caring what she says and how that comes off. I was disappointed in Sokka, and I felt like it was such a heavy moment that maybe they felt like they needed to do this, but I did not feel like they needed to do that, and it should have been very somber, because regardless of the fact that Aang didn't kill Ozai, he took away his firebending, and that is sort of a huge deal, and I wanted them to sort of take a moment and realize the levity of the situation.
No, I agree. I don't know. It was an awkward, weird moment, and yeah, I don't think they really knew how to handle it, but oh well. So, moving along to the battle being won and all of that kind of stuff, it's Zuko's coronation, and he's a peaceful Fire Lord, which is all really sweet, the day of his coronation and his, you know, presenting Aang to the universe in his formal robes and all of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, just a few things here. First of all, how about Zuko and Mei's reunion? How did that sit with everyone now that Zuko's the Fire Lord and he's back in town? You know, Mei is out of prison and she wants to date Zuko again. So I take it that most of you girls are not super pro this.
It's just gross. It doesn't need to happen. It was unnecessary. And he didn't even, like, ask about her when they got back. He was like, oh, by the way, like, remember Mei? She was, like, taken from me. No, nothing.
Yeah, remember just, like, my girlfriend who saved my life and then Azula, like, put her in prison? Maybe we should get her out of there, huh? Like, maybe that's the thing we should do since I'm, like, the Fire Lord. But he's like, oh, you're out of prison? What are you doing here? Like, you just forgot about her.
I've got to admit that's true. I still like them. Karen, do you like them?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm always going to be, you know, on the Zutara ship, but I think that Mei has definitely grown on me quite a bit, and I didn't realize that he had kind of forgotten about her that way, too. But that aside, I thought the little reunion was pretty nice.
I think it's cute. I much prefer his little reunion with Aang before the coronation, where they say some really beautiful words to each other, and then they hug. And as I've said before, I ship these guys more than I ship Zuko or Aang with any of the ladies presented to them. Because, I don't know, I just think they're freaking adorable, and I love their friendship that is, you know, has grown, and they're going to be best friends forever and build the world together. And it really felt like a king and his queen coming out to greet the masses. Sorry, but Zuko's coronation, I guess, and his, you know, his presentation of Aang and all of the people accepting him pretty instantly. Like, do you think the Fire Nation just has to go along with whoever's managed to, like, duke it out and become Fire Lord? Or, like, do you think people are pissed that Zuko is the Fire Lord now? Most of the people in that courtyard were, like, Earth Kingdom and Waterbenders. Like, there weren't that many Fire Nation people there.
It's because the Four Nations are together as one. Greeting the Avatar.
Yes. Except there's no Air Nation.
Well, Aang's there.
There's Aang. 100% of the Air Nation was there.
Oh my god. Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, just basically, yeah, does anyone have any thoughts or emotions about Zuko becoming the Fire Lord before we move on to the other little bits of ending?
I'm just still so excited for them to be best friends now.
Yeah. Aang and Zuko.
Yeah. Because I sort of always felt like Katara and Sokka and even Toph, like, they never really talked to him on the same level. Like, they kind of always all talked down to him. So I like it that Zuko is, like, right there with him.
Zuko is his BFF. And there's a lot of, like, teenagers ruling the world right now. Like, Aang is the Avatar and Zuko is, like, the Fire Lord. And it's just, like, is the world, like, fine with all of these, like, teens, like, being in charge?
I mean, think of everything they went through, though. They definitely probably have more life experience than half the nation's people anyway.
Yeah, and Zuko has seen how, like, every civilization in the world is living. So he has a pretty good idea of what's going on and what, like, the current state of things is and, like, the problems that the Fire Nation has caused. So he's, like, the best equipped to help everyone move on from what has gone on with the Fire Nation.
Yeah, I think that that's true. And I think that you guys should read the comics is what I think. So, yeah, that's going to be good. Other little person who we see again is Ty Lee, who she's become a Kyoshi warrior, which is sort of ironic because we learn in the beach that she was upset growing up, like, looking like her sister and sisters and not standing out. And so it's funny that her final decision is to, like, join this gang where everyone, like, looks identical with this makeup. So how did you guys like that ending for Ty Lee? Brittany, do you like that character, Ty Lee, by this point, or do you sort of hate her, or what do you reckon?
I'm, like, indifferent to Ty Lee. I'm glad that she, like, was able to give them, like, teach them, you know, her, like, cool little, like, sensory blocking thing. Because I think that's what they said, that she was able to, like, teach them how to do that. But I think it'll be good for her. There's no, like, because everyone, I feel like, is on an equal playing field in the Kyoshi Warriors. So I think that's what she needs, where she, like, can learn that she doesn't have to stand out.
Yeah. I liked the little bit where, like, first of all, Sokka's like, ah, she's going to kill you, to Suki. And then when Suki's like, no, it's chill, she's on the team. Like, Sokka, like, looks between them, like, all horrified, like he doesn't know how to process this. So I think that Sokka still has a little bit of, like, a tiny sexy thing for Ty Lee, like a sexy danger thing for her, maybe.
Oh, I love Sokka and Ty Lee, so I hope so.
Yeah. And then obviously the big question that ends the whole, you know, drama of the series is Zuko visiting his daddy in prison and asking where Ursa is. That's Zuko's mother, for those who haven't picked up on that yet. So where is she? Were you expecting an answer for this before the end of the series?
She's in an iceberg.
Okay, that's a theory. Was anyone expecting an answer for this before the end of the series at all?
No, because I think you or somebody else told us that it was, like, in the comics or something like that, so I wasn't really... I was maybe expecting a clue of some sort, but not like, a full-blown answer.
Mm. So do you have any theories about where she is?
No. I have no idea. It's really frustrating.
Do you think she's alive?
No.
Arianna, how about you?
She's definitely alive. Otherwise, why would they be talking about it so much. She has to be. She's probably, like, in the Earth Nation, like everyone else. That's where, like, everyone goes.
One of my favorite things.
You know what? I think she's actually the bear.
she's just, an like, animagus.
It's her costume. Like, the bear, like, actually has a zipper in the back. That's what it is, guys.
She's an animagus. She learned how to turn into an animal.
One of my favorite things about Korra, which isn't a spoiler, I will just tell you, it's just to do with the timing, is that the first series of Korra came out before the comics came out, before the comics that addressed Avatar, like The Last Airbender, came out. And so in one of the first episodes of Korra, you have a little girl who meets Korra, or she meets someone, I can't remember. She meets an older character, or Korra, I can't remember, and she's just like, oh my god, I've read so many stories about, like, what it was back in the days with Avatar Aang. Can you tell me what happened to Zuko's mother, if you know what I mean? And they just throw this little, like, tiny little ridiculous Easter egg about that in there, because at the time, as I said, I think that the comics where they kind of explored that hadn't come out, and the fandom for, like, 5 years or however long, you know, Avatar had been off the air, was like, oh my god, where's Zuko's mom? It was like the biggest question in the world. It was like trying to work out the identity of Jon Snow's real parents. Like, it was like the biggest deal in fandom. And so there's this really cute little Easter egg, which probably won't be as overwhelmingly cute when you guys watch Korra if you read the comics first, but at the time it was cute, so that was good. Anyway, so she's the bear. That's our best theory so far.
It's the only theory.
Maybe she has a tee shot. No, because that's Iroh's side. Never mind.
You never know. She could, like, actually secretly love Iroh. And, like, you know, she could have got married to, like, the wrong Fire Nation brother.
Yeah, what if Zuko is really, like, the love child between her and Iroh?
Oh, that would be so satisfying.
I would be down for that.
And then Zuko would be the real heir as well, because Iroh was the actual heir, like, to the throne, as opposed to Ozai, like, usurping it. Well, told you that, so it's obviously, you know, I've either spoiled everything or it's obviously a blatant lie. But anyway, the very final part is happy times.
Let's not even talk about it.
Tea shop, yeah, with Sokka doing a beautiful painting of the group, and Zuko's there to chill out with his hair down, like literally he's letting his hair down and not having the responsibilities of being the Fire Lord. He's visiting his uncle and he's just being a waiter, and you know, Sokka does a painting and Katara's got hair loopies, and then they go outside, Aang and Katara, and they sort of have their hug and they're like, oh, look, we've come through this together, and finally, because they've come through this together, this is the moment where they get to be together and kiss with both parties consenting and everything. So,
I really wanted, like, when Zuko was handing out everyone tea and he gave a cup to Katara, I was like, yes, okay, good.
His girlfriend was right there, Brittany. Like,
I don't
she
care.
Was like, right.
Maybe they were like, maybe like after a month or so, she was like, oh, I think we're better off friends, because she's smart and knows that Zuko's
that
heart is in another place.
Yeah, okay. This whole time she was in prison, Zuko was like flying around taking Katara on field trips. Like, he was so absorbed. He was like, oh my god, staying outside her tent every night, like, Katara, Katara. And meanwhile, May is in prison. He sucks.
He didn't even, like, say anything. Like, and when, because Ariana sent me this wonderful little, very long Tumblr post to read, even when she, like, when he takes Sokka on his field trip and Sokka's like, oh, my girlfriend is the moon, and he's like, that's rough, buddy. He says, like, I had a girlfriend. Like, they're clearly not together. And I know she comes in at the end of that and saves him, but then after that, he's just like, oh, well, I guess she's just making up because we had some history together. That's it.
Yes, like, I don't know. Sokka doesn't super prioritize going and saving Suki all that time she's in prison.
Because,
you know,
he doesn't really love Suki either.
Okay, now we're going for it, are we? Why do you think he doesn't really love Suki?
Because Taka is endgame. I mean, Suki, I love Suki, and she's a nice, like, teenage girlfriend for him right now. But, like, Taka is, like, endgame. For Eva. For five Eva.
All right. Okay, we can say that. That's fine.
That's why they had so much time on the airship together, even though it made no sense for her to go.
But he also realized in that moment that Azula was just messing with him. He couldn't confirm that Suki was still alive.
I know. I think that what we have is a situation where these small amount of people, you know, have a really, really important task, defeating the Fire Lord, and they unfortunately can't put their personal choices, like saving their girlfriends, at the front of their minds. Like, that they, you know, that they have to actually commit to the cause, and once everything is sorted out, they will go and fix all of the little things. And,
okay, but that argument totally falls flat when they have plenty of time to go looking for libraries and go on little field trips. Like, they're not focusing on saving. Like, yeah, but they're not focusing on saving the world the whole time.
I know, well, I know.
I think the biggest argument is, like, at the end, after everything's calmed down and Suko's, like, lounging around in his, like, pajamas, and Mei shows up and he's like, oh, yeah, you exist, right? Like, that's messed up, Suko.
Because it's clearly been, like, a little while. Like,
I maybe think that Zuko shouldn't be in a relationship with anyone. I'm not going to lie. I think he's probably quite bad at it, like, in general. You know, except Aang, like, he's obsessed with Aang. Like, it's like Draco Malfoy and Harry Potter in the second Harry Potter book when they're, like, stalking each other around the, like, castle. So, yeah, he should be with Aang in the end. But, I don't know. Karen, how did you feel about the kiss at the end with the whole, you know, Katara and Aang ending?
I mean, I saw it coming. It's whatever. I'm sort of indifferent to it. As long as they're happy, I guess that's fine. But I still prefer Zutara, like, way, way more.
Like, I mean, Aang, do we still feel like Aang is like a child that shouldn't be having sexy relationships with a woman who is, like,
taller? Oh my god, don't even say sex next to Aang. Oh, that's so disgusting.
Yeah, no. No.
Okay. It's going to be okay, you guys, I promise. Like, in a few years, Katara and Aang will be, like, a reasonable age to be with each other. But until then, yeah. I'm so sorry in advance, by the way, if you do read the comics about the Katara and Aang-ness of them, because they are super honeymoon phase, and disgusting.
It's literally the only thing that makes me not want to read the comics, is because I know that.
Have fun. They're great, but have fun. So, favorite scenes for part three, going down the list. Mine was the birthday scene on the airship where Sokka announces them all. Mainly the bit where those two guys from, like, different departments of the ship meet up and are, like, awkwardly flirting. It's, like, amazing to me. Like, what?
That's exactly what I was thinking too, Natalie.
It is 100% that. I will, like, this show does not have, like, a super large amount of queer representation because, like, it was Nickelodeon in the early 2000s. That is two bears flirting. You cannot tell me otherwise. I'm sorry. And I love it. I love it. I love it. And I love the one guy being like, oh my god, the captain remembered my birthday. It was just the whole scene. I just loved it and I died. But yeah, that little meetup of like, oh, so I haven't seen you around here that's what it is. Like, it's not up for debate. That's what it is. But I loved it. It was hilarious. I found it that just those awkward Fire Nation moments are amazing to me. Karen, how about you going down the list?
Mine was just when Aang returned, because it was so satisfying. I loved how excited Sokka was about it, and you could tell that he was ready to do what he had to do, and it was just really nice seeing him mature throughout this entire series, you know, culminating in this moment, fighting Ozai.
Yeah, he made it. Ariana, how about yours? It's a little bit emotional.
Yeah, I mean, mine was every single Azula scene, but, like, when she finally went totally crazy and you knew that she was just, like, losing it and having a mental breakdown because nobody loves her. Not her best friends, not her mom, not her dad, nobody. And she cut her bangs with some rusty kitchen scissors, just like a Miranda Lambert song. And I loved it.
Well, yeah, it was a good moment. I enjoyed it as a moment on television. Azula is batshit, but what are you going to do? Brittany, how about you?
Mine was when Zuko dives in front of the lightning from Azula to redirect it, even though he can't properly have his lightning redirection stance, because it means that he's willing to risk his life for his one true love, who is Katara.
Yep.
I mean, yes. That's a pretty valid reading of the scene. It could just be that Zuko is a, you know...
No.
You can. No, that's not what it is.
You're like, this is the reading of that scene.
Such a wasted opportunity. Greatest love story never told.
Jesus. Okay, and then the favorite quotes from the scene. Mine was honestly the same one Ariana had, and I do not have a good backup, so Ariana can speak for both of us. But Karen, do you want to go down the list for yours?
Yeah, mine was between Katara and Zuko when Katara was like, Zuko, don't worry, we can take Azula. And Zuko said, I'm not worried about her, I'm worried about Aang. And I like this for so many reasons. First of all, that he's not scared of his sister anymore, which I think is a huge, huge deal. But also that it really shows how much he cares about Aang, which, you know, coming from season 1 and 2 is so great. And obviously we saw the progression of that, and it's not like it's out of character or anything, but it was just really nice to hear him say it anyway.
Yeah, I, as I said, I care about their relationship a lot more than any real or fictional romances in the show. So, yes, I am with you there. Who's next? Brittany? Oh, no, Ariana, no, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine is when Azula's going crazy and she's like, all right, Hare, it's time to face your doom.
Yes, that was also my choice because it is ridiculous and I love it. And lastly, Brittany, before we go into the next episode.
Mine was just when they're all floating in the water after Sokka dumps them, and the guy just, like, from, like, the boiler room or whatever looks over at the other Fire Nation guy, and he's just like, happy birthday.
That poor guy.
I was laughing at that whole, like, thing that you were talking about that was your favorite scene. I was laughing so hard during it. I was like, this is one of the greatest things Avatar's ever done besides Boomy.
Really? So. That scene is one of the greatest things besides Boomy that Avatar's yep. ever done.
Oh, without it. On my humor level, yes. It is, like, hilarious. Oh,
I love it as well, but yes. Okay, so for the second episode, part 4, my favorite moment was the Zuko and Aang hug before the coronation, and when Zuko tells everyone, like, how much he loves Aang in front of the whole city. So, yeah, that was my favorite moment of the show. Karen?
Wait, are you allowed to just come in and, like, usurp my thing?
That's so I'm funny. First on the list.
Yeah, but I wrote mine in 2 days ago.
It's okay. You can elaborate on the picture. Go on. Okay.
I loved it when Sokka saved Toph, just because I really liked their relationship, romantic or otherwise. And it was just really nice how much he's ended up caring for her. And, you know, they're willing to go down together, and it was just nice.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And sad. And then how about you, Ariana?
Mine was obviously when, you know, Zuko was shot down and then Katara totally, like, bamfed out. And she had the fire and the ice going, and then she just, like, took over. That was so awesome. And I loved the little lady fight they had.
At the end of the day, who do you like more, Katara or Azula?
I mean, Azula, of course. I still like her more.
Okay, just wondering.
I think I was really thinking hard about this because I'm going to ask everybody who their favorite characters are. And I think Azula's 1 and I think Katara's 2 now, which is weird. But I think she's made it to 2 because of this epic fight scene where she saved her true love.
Fair enough. And then Brittany, I apparently usurped your big moment. So do you wanna ignore what I said and just go into it like I haven't said it?
No, I have another one. It's fine.
Oh no, but I want you to talk about this and whatever this photo is that Mitch has put in there.
Yeah, okay, so I snuck into the dock to do some other things not related to this episode a few days ago, and the doc was, to my surprise, already done. So I went to go fill in my little moments, and I put Aang and Zuko's hug as my moment for this
you
episode.
You put romantic.
No. Mitch crossed out hug and wrote in romantic embrace, and I said, okay, that's acceptable. And then Mitch continued on this journey and put in this, like, cosplay photo of two really ripped guys, one as Zuko, one as Aang, like, standing next to each other.
They're really shirtless and, like, yeah. about, like, 21, like, somewhere between 18 and 21, and... You know, it's one of those photos where they're both staring down the camera like you need to get out of their faces
with,
so
like,
they can
really
go away.
With, like, really bad farmer's like, hands.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, so that and then was I good. Said that was a little too far. But if I had to pick a different favorite moment, and I'll let Adiana give her comment in a minute, but if I had to pick a different favorite moment, it would be when Katara is holding Zuko in her arms and, like, you know, brushes his hair a little.
Yes. That doesn't actually happen, does it?
No, it totally
she does.
She holds his head up, and then she, like, goes and she uses both of her hands to, like, heal him. Oh, I watched it a couple
she,
times.
She, like, strokes his hair, yeah.
Gross. Anyway, Ariana, you've got some commentary on the beautiful photo
yeah.
that we've given.
Well, I was saying that with the romantic embrace that Aang and Zuko had, I also got, like, sexy vibes from that. So I think they should have a threesome with Katara, and then everybody will be happy. Mm-hmm. That'll fix everything.
And then Aang will feel inferior to Zuko and leave well enough alone. And
okay.
everything happily ever after.
Or maybe both Aang and Katara can be, like, Zuko's sister wives.
Oh,
so we can have, like, both
yeah.
of them.
Okay,
like, he can have this harem of queens. Like, what?
Yes.
Anyway. All right, so going
and
down
that'll
to
make
favorite.
Caitlin happy, because then we can have Mako, too. He can have May.
Oh, yeah, so he can have a whole, like, group of queens.
Yeah.
Cool. Because Katara is the Fire Lord, after all. She's the one that actually beat the Fire Lord, like, so, yeah. Favorite quotes. Mine was actually one of the ones that I pulled was the Fire Lord when Suki and Sokka and then Toph come over to where Aang has defeated him on the little rock stand, and they're like, oh my god, did you finish the job? And they're all kind of and the Fire Lord's just like, I'm still alive, to the kids, and I don't know why. I found it hilarious. So, yeah. Karen?
I really liked that whole scene where Sokka was drawing everybody, but the one line that really stuck out to me was when Katara was like, why did you give me Momo's ears? And Sokka's just like, those are your hair loopies. And I still love that they don't have a better name for her hairstyle than hair loopies.
Or that, like, she even has a name for them. She's just like, yeah, I guess that's acceptable.
Yeah.
What I do with my hair. How about you, Ariana?
Mine was when Sokka and Toph were just, like, having their totally beautiful romantic walk on the clouds. And he's like...
that is a walk on the clouds. That is a great way of interpreting what was happening there.
And he goes, have I ever mentioned how sweet it is that you invented metal bending? And she goes, you could stand to mention it more. Ah, oh,
yeah.
Love them.
It's true. And how about you, Brittany?
So mine happens along with the hair stroke moment. And I'm going to read it exactly as it's written on the Avatar transcript because it's just beautiful. Zuko whispering weakly. Thank you, Katara. Katara. Cut to Katara, who tears up. I think I'm the one who should be thanking you. Come on! They are meant to be together!
I don't know, man. It's so beautiful. And waiting for Korra. Aang's dead, so things can happen.
Yeah! Unless they had, like, a suicide pact or something, which they probably did because they're gross.
Who, Aang and Katara?
Katara.
Ew.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny.
So terrible. Ew. It's funny. The thing about Zutara is it's funny because I don't mean to object that much. I definitely don't ship her and Aang. But, like, every time people, like, point out these, like, moments, I'm just like, I really didn't feel that. Like, I just didn't feel it. I don't know. I feel bad.
I have to go back to like when we first started this, because I feel like it was a super fan who implanted Zutara in my mind that I should be looking for it.
Oh, because, definitely.
Because I remember like when he shows up with the necklace, like, and I like gasped, and I don't know why. Like, I didn't like Zuko at that point because he was just annoying me because he was so angry. But then when that moment happened, I'm like, oh, I should be feeling something. And now look at where we are. We're at the last episode.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when the necklace thing happened, I was like, guys, that's not sexy. That's creepy. But, like, yeah. I don't know. Now I feel like, I look back and I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's so sexy.
I agree with you. When I look back at his hair, it creeps me out.
Oh, his bald ponytail.
His bald ponytail creeps me out so much.
I know what you mean. I'm currently reading a book series. Sorry to go on a tiny tangent for 30 seconds. But I'm currently reading a book series where I know for a fact that the fandom has a really big ship about it that is, like, 99% going to become canon in the books, in the last book. But I'm sort of reading it, and I'm kind of looking for moments. And I'm like, if I wasn't looking for moments, I wouldn't be shipping this at all. Like, at least not at this point. Like, I would definitely be shipping these characters with other characters in this book. So I get what you mean about Zutara and, like, looking for it. But I think the first time I watched it, I was certainly not looking for it. And so I never sort of got it, I guess. But oh well. You know, good old Zutara. Anyway, that's the end of our big discussion for the finale of Avatar The Last Airbender. We did it, kids. Yay! If you want to come and talk to us about it, you don't have to worry about spoilers anymore except for Korra. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can reach us on Twitter, re_watchable. You can comment on this post on hyperball.com, or you can join us on Tumblr at rewatchable.tumblr.com. If you want to give us an iTunes review, as usual, this is the end of the series, so it's a big one. If you rate us 5 stars, then Karen will give you a royal hair combing while balancing on top of a volleyball net in a busty bikini, while choreographing a pretty princess dragon's dance, while letting you witness the birth of her firstborn child, etc., etc. So everything we've offered before, big combo, 5 stars on iTunes, come claim it from our good friend Karen here. Karen, it's the end of the series. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Have they done this to you before on other rewatchable series?
Nope. This is, I think, the first occurrence, but I have a feeling it's not going to go away anytime soon.
Yeah, because I collected all of them, and I have a massive post that I'm going to put up tomorrow, actually, of all of the things that you could have claimed from Karen over the course of Avatar. And I, too, was wondering. I was like, oh, how far back do I have to go? And it didn't start until, like, episode 4, of Avatar and Rewatchable. So, like, it wasn't even, like, we didn't even have it the first couple of times we recorded. And then I think we just, all it said in the doc was just, like, remember to tell people about iTunes reviews, and then all of a sudden these incentives starting. So,
Ariana, was that you? I have a feeling.
Yeah,
it was
I mean, we've always had incentives, but then I don't know why. I just started thinking like, oh, we should just make them like specifically for Karen to do because I thought it'd be funny. And I was gonna change it like every week someone else, but no, it's just funnier to have Karen do it.
Yep, I agree.
Thanks. I've had a couple people try to claim them for me, and I'm like. Guys, I don't know how to do this. I was going to try, like, somebody wants the bearded dragon dance, and I was going to try to draw, like, stick figures doing a bearded dragon dance, but I can't even draw stick figures, so I feel really guilty about not giving them their prize.
Karen, we have to get you some, like,
have to feel guilty about
of those,
it.
Like, rhythmic gymnastics ribbons, so you can do it, like, they just play.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Okay. We've got a lot of feedback for the last episode, and we can read some of these tweets, and we've got like quite a long comment as well. I'll read the comment, and then we'll go down in quotation order for the tweets, if that's okay, unless someone sees one they really want to grab. But we've got a comment from Hyperbull, which is K8_8K. That's their username. Between listening to you finish watching Avatar The Last Airbender and me finally finishing The Legend of Korra, I'm already feeling withdrawal and am debating rewatching it all again. However, I would like to discover new material in Avatar World. You've discussed the graphic novels before and I've tried doing some research, but I'm at a bit of a loss. There's The Lost Adventures, the original graphic novels, The Promise, The Search, and The Rift, and the art books. Could you please maybe go into further discussion and what graphic novels are available, / worth the purchase, etc.? Thanks. P.S. I've participated and listened to every series Rewatchable has done thus far, and I look forward to the shows you'll cover in the future. You rock. You swept me away. You're on fire. You're in the stratosphere. Awkward soccer joke clap. Oh, how I miss him. Well, thank you so much. Let me give you a little bit of a summary about the comics. The Lost Adventure.
Yeah, we're also going to put together like a little thing of it, and I'm going to tweet it too.
Okay, great.
Because I want to know as well.
Yeah. The Lost Adventures is a book set during the series. It's just a little bit more like kind of child based, and it's just some, you know, like deleted scene type stuff, like random little things where the Avatar was going around the world helping people on their journey, you know, with Sokka and Katara and stuff. The Promise, The Search, and The Rift are the books that happen after this series ends. The Promise picks up not too long after the series ends. And it's basically, when it was initially published, it was like three trade paperbacks. So it was like part one, part two, part three. They might have put it all together in one book now. Same with The Search. And then The Rift is coming out later this year, so I haven't read that one. But the Promise and The Search were both fantastic. They were just as engaging as like an episode or a whole episode arc. And I'll just give you a bit of a spoiler. The first one is about Zuko and Aang going around the world putting some stuff to right not long after Zuko becomes a Fire Lord. And The Search sort of does what it says on the tin. You can leave that up to your own imagination. They are searching for something. What could it be? And then The Rift, I don't know what it's going to be about. The art books are just fantastic, like, you know, stuff about the creation of the characters, the creation of the movement, all this kind of cool stuff to look at if you want to. But, yeah, The Promise, The Search, and The Rift should be read as part of canon. So, yeah, that is what I would say. Going into the tweets, we've got one from Zach saying, Zach H. Official, Rewatchable is on the Avatar finale and I'm both excited and sad at the same time. # Phoenix loser. Rule one, do not eat or drink anything while listening to the recaps on Rewatchable. You might die. So that's true. Brittany, do you want to, do we want to go down the list? So Karen and then Ariana and Brittany with the tweets?
Yeah. Sure. Okay, so Princess Taylor at Princess T Taylor says, Rewatchable, that # Avatar, # Bruno Mars, # recap was on point.
So many hashtags.
Oh my god, I'm going to have to go and read the Bruno Mars recap. That was clearly one of Donya's shows. Was it beautiful?
Oh, so good. And it didn't, I didn't catch on because I'm an idiot until like halfway through, like this, like, you know, by the time you reach like the seventh Bruno Mars reference, I was like, oh. But it's good. You should read it.
Yes.
Next, Amanda at Heyo Amanda. I want to start Korra right away, but I want to wait until Rewatchable possibly does it. My patience will be tested. Help me. Oh, Amanda. You can tweet us newbies.
You could wait. How long system. Is it? Have we announced all of that, Karen?
When Korra's going to happen?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to do Freaks. I did all of this on Twitter, but I guess it's probably good to announce it here. We are doing Freaks and Geeks next, so we're going to have quite a few different voices, and then we're going to bring everyone back from Avatar The Last Airbender to do Korra, so that's going to be really exciting, and it'll be a nice little reunion thing. So Freaks and Geeks isn't that long. It's going to last like 2.5 months, so... You know, give it a try and then come back for Korra.
Yeah, I hope that we see you all again for Korra. And if you want to watch it in the meantime and listen to Rewatchable as a super fan, you know, even if you mainline it all now, you'll still have it all pretty clear by the time you're hearing us go week by week. If you want to follow along, or you can hang out and wait with us like we're making the newbies suffer. So either of those options is great.
So at Magic is Might, yes, I got that right. At Magic is Might says, I can't believe that Rewatchable is soon finished with Atla. Book 3 went so fast. And I agree. Book 3 did go really fast. I felt like book 1 took forever, but book 3 went by so quickly.
That's because nothing happened in book one.
True. Yeah, how long have we been doing Avatar for on Rewatchable?
7 months.
Like, yeah.
Like, basically since Comic-Con. Really? Like, forever.
7 months, mm-hmm. Really? God. Yep.
Yeah, it started, like, right after Comic-Con.
And Korra's going to be so even bizarre. Longer.
Wow. Why? No, it's not. Korra's only... Oh, no, it's 4 seasons. But they're only 12 episodes each.
Oh.
Not 22.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's shorter, I think. It's less episodes all up. 4 seasons, but shorter episodes. Shorter seasons. And then am I the next question?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Avatar Central.
Yes. Says, I really enjoyed listening to the podcast for the past 7 months or so. There we go, 7 months. I can't believe that. Hope you guys will be back with Korra sometime. Yes, we will. And then, Karen, should we carry on down?
Yeah.
This is in response to the question that the girls asked.
Yeah, in response to only one more day until Ariana and Brittany can watch the finale of Avatar, what are your favorite moments? And we have three people here. First one is from Avatar Central, who says, the fights are all my favorite parts. They're so incredible and beautifully animated. And then we have Alexander Gomez, who says, basically anytime Azula is present, that's my girl, impatiently waiting for finale. And then Gordon says, my favorite parts, mirrors, ice and fire, banishment, Taka, door armor, nicknames, returning characters, badass old men, but most importantly, my absolute faves, the music, and Azula!
Oh my god.
I loved Beautiful. It so much how Brittany was like, tell us your favorite moments, but no spoilers. like, what are people supposed to say, Brittany?
Well, and he did a good job. Gordon did the best. Because he was like, mirrors, ice and fire, banishment. It was so good because I knew what
that was really good, actually. Maybe Gordon should be on the show and give like less spoilers than like Mitch or me or Vital do. Like,
poor Mitch. Gordon was really good at avoiding spoilers because. He tweets us a lot, and I usually, like, I'm usually on the Twitter, like, responding, and he's, like, really good at not spoiling anything, or saying, like, he'll do what Mitch does and be like, well, you'll find out soon. But I appreciated it also.
I'm pretty bad at it, too, but Mitch is, like, extreme. Like, he really comes in and, like, and says, I'm just like, really? You've really confirmed this now? But oh well. What can you do? We love him. So, oh well. All right. I think that's everything. We're done. We've finished Avatar. How do you all feel? I mean, we're going to do a whole recap episode about how you all feel, but right now,
how do you feel? Oh my gosh. At the recap episode, can we all pick our, like, nation? Because I've been waiting to do that since, like, the first episode.
Okay.
Maybe people should write in telling us what they think, where they think we would be from.
Yeah, where they think true. We would be. That would be good.
Cool. All right, so everyone's at peace with where we have ended Avatar The Last Airbender, you know, on that beautiful child snogging and everything.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
You literally sound like you're going to be sick. All right, enough of that. We'll let that all go. Until next time, which will be a recap of our feelings about covering all of Avatar, we'll say bye, and I've been Natalie.
I'm Karen.
I'm Ariana.
And I'm Brittany. Bye.
Bye.
Bye forever.
Well, sort of forever. Bye forever. Okay. Bye. 's all good. So everyone's happy with their synopsis, and there's not going to be any awkward moments where someone can't say a word. I mean, I might not be able to say some words as well, but all good.
I'm so American. I feel like I can't say arse.
who wrote did who wrote wrote this, Ariana? Did you write this?
No, this was
Mitch. Okay. I don't know why he wrote arse in that case.
It's going to sound so American.
I mean, you could just say, do you have to say that? You could just say ass. We say, it's funny because, what?
It's just
the way you said that.
Yeah.
Well, it's I'm just trying to think about how we say it naturally. I think it's arse without the British arse, but without the American ass. We sort of say a combination of the two. We say arse. This is a great conversation. All right. Let's go. Let's do it. We can do it. It's going to be good.